future wager at 50 to 1.
You do.
I got another 25 to win. Woo!
Mystic Journey out of the top takes the lead. She is entering the main event.
If I don't get the first leg, Warren, I just walk home. I'm just straight out the door. I'm gone.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Two Units podcast, the Group 1 edition, as we kick off here with the CF4 Stakes in Victoria. And what a cracking card it is at Caulfield to discuss today. We've got plenty of other things to get through first, though. The stewards' room's back. We have the Sultan's Supper. Pack your nags, our unit of the week as well, and we'll round out with our best bets from around Australia. My name's Nick Foote. Joining me, the great man, the Sultan. G'day to you, mate.
Yeah, loving the steward's room, mate. And hopefully it's a bit better than the steward's room yesterday at Sandown for those of us that back lording. So the questions have been fired in. The units are around the steward's room. And geez, I'm excited to get trackside for what I'm calling the CF Strelaw this Saturday at Caulfield as well, feature Group 1 racing.
Do you reckon the lording protest was just saying, hey, mate, the Gentleman Roy protest was about a year ago now, and you're due for another one? Do you reckon there was a little bit of that in it, Salts?
Just the to 12th, be fair, that protest,
the annual protest for the Salts?
Yeah, well, the Gentleman Roy one should have been upheld, and the Lording contact wasn't the one. It was the Adonis Kick one, third verse first, I thought should have been upheld. But anyway, what do you do? Who knows?
This fresh, delicious, tasty, meaty, turkey-filled, cold-cut combo. I eat three every day to help keep me strong.
Sultan's Supper time and great performances, they come to the table. Who gets a seat at the head of the table this week? Well, I'm going to kick it off with the Troppo Oppo, who the OG unit army will know who the Troppo Oppo is and what he means to us. But he wrote out his city claim last week at Morphettville, the Troppo did, on Tyless at Morphettville. So, look, he's been one of ours since the get-go, since he kicked off as an apprentice, thinking back to the Lee Creek Royal Mile days, Salts. So it's good to see him outright his city claim, and all it says to us is we're getting older.
Oh, and people forget, when we first were getting around this guy, he was 16 years old. So he might have had a bit of a slump in between then and now, but he was also a kid, and he's still a kid, really, at 20 years old. So yeah, we love the Troppo. We're always going to be getting around the Troppo. And keeping with a South Australian form, geez, it was good last Friday, the Strathalbyn Cup. Second to none winning the Strathalbyn Cup. Racing.com's own John Kelton, the Celts, the Eagle. Bred the mare, she's absolutely flying. And I just loved on the coverage. They got to the mounting yard of the last, and the Celts was already in the owner's room after his mare won the penultimate, drinking tinnies, and I got to the mounting yard and Terry just said, oh, I've just let Celts go early. I'm doing this last race. But he read out all the Celts form notes and his tips for him while he just was drinking beers out of the cup. I thought that was sensational.
He's so good. He's I'd love to be in a SA horse with someone like Celts. You know, I don't reckon he gets in any slow ones. He knows what he's doing over there. He's the king of SA, the Celts, the Eagle.
The freak.
Yeah, he's a gun. Speaking of guns, I did a little potty last night, Salts. I stepped outside two units and I went over to the Honest Beers potty and sat down with Leggy and Wally and the boys and had a bit of a chat. And I just wanted to give them a bit of a shout out, invite them to the supper, because they've got an elite operation over there. Like I said to him, I was like, regardless of how crap this podcast is, it's in a shiny, beautiful studio and they're doing good things. So hop over if you want to hear more about
what do they talk about?
It was just a sort of this is your life, Nick Foote type thing. So
oh, really?
I'm sure that'll
go for 15 minutes.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll break the internet.
I didn't come across the CEO of Two Units Desk, though, to tick it off.
Really? Is that right? I guess I didn't put anything in my own pigeonhole, so you probably didn't receive it. But it was good fun, Salts. I think you should have a listen. You might learn something.
That's all regulation size of one!
Oh, you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
I've seen no finger paintings you bring home and they suck!
I'm calm!
All right, the fun part, pack your nags time. Hey, went to Hobart during the week. back home, first time in a while, and went out, beautiful Mexican restaurant, Pancho Villa in North Hobart. And there's just one thing, though, that infuriates me with Mexican restaurants, and that's when tacos are in two serves only. So you've got a terrific taco menu. You want to try the different meats, the different flavors, yet they only give you two serves of one particular taco. So you're then limited, unless you want to be an absolute keg and order eight tacos, you're limited in terms of trying the menu salts. So two serves tacos, pack your nags.
That's a good point, and it can be applicable to anything. Give me the option for the single. What's against saying, oh, well, all right, we can do one, but it'll just be half the price of the serving or two. Just think on your feet.
I'd almost be happy to take a one serve tax and pay a little bit extra to have one. Like that's where I sit.
Maybe an 80 cent tax.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
Speaking of tax, well, I'm pissed off. I'm not talking about that nerd with his tax cuts, Albanese. Liar, lies out his teeth. I'm talking about the alcohol tax that has been in place in this country for a long, long time. And it's incrementally increasing. I think it's biannually. Just not in line with inflation or anything else. So it's just an outdated tax that now sees us go to the pub and get a pint of beer, and you pretty much can't get a pint of beer anywhere for less than $16. That's going to go up to near on $17 for a pint. I remember the days when we used to blow up when a jug was $17. Mm-hmm. It's becoming a disgrace. So what, in 8 years' time, we go to the pub and you want to get a pint, you have to pay $22. It's an outrage, and they need to... Alcohol gets taxed out the absolute ass in this country. Give the brewers a go.
I paid $18 for a pint of Stone and Wood at just a pretty standard pub in South Yarra. And I nearly fell off the bar.
Yeah.
I wasn't standing on it. I was just leaning, but I nearly fell over. That's extraordinary stuff. So, no, I agree.
You're doing coyote footy on top of the bar.
I was. Yeah, well, I had a wet t-shirt and everything. The other thing with that is, and, you know, not all of us are in our alcohol era at the moment, salts, but the price on soft drinks at pubs as well. So if you're having a soft drink at a pub, or it should be free. I remember I used to go to down to Rest Point, the old casino back in the days in Hobart. And if you were drinking soft drink, you were likely driving to be there, and it's free.
So free is maybe a stretch because they've got to buy it.
But why is it? I think it's $6 or $7 for a schooner of Coke.
I paid $3.50 the other week for a soda water.
Yeah. See, it's... This is
started seeping out my anus instantly.
Hey, I don't know if you caught this dismissal in the under 19 cricket World Cup, Zimbabwe versus England. There's a little bit of pack your nags about it, but also a little bit of bittersweet in terms of how it unfolded, because it involved England again. But basically, England were batting in the under 19s World Cup. English player blocks the ball, ball's dead on the pitch, picks the ball up, throws it back to the Zimbabwean bowler. Zimbabwe appeal, English player given out for handling the ball salts. So that's a genuine spirit of the game thing to be wound up around. Like, that's a genuine spirit of the game, one. But it's just hilarious. No, it can't be. But obviously with the laws it is, and the umpire had his hands tied and had to give it out. So the best part, though, is looking through the comments regarding this on social media. And it's just England, it's just nightmares for them all over again, because every bit of argument is, would the Aussies do it, and likening it to the Bairstow dismissal. And it's just so bittersweet. So that type of dismissal needs to pack its nags, but just a little bittersweet PYN there at the end.
Their media are saying they should be 2-0 up against India. They lost first innings in the first test by 250 runs. I've had enough of these pricks.
Yeah, they're no good. Hey, I just want to say this could be my last podcast here at Two Units, because I'm off to Perth this afternoon and it's 41 degrees there over the next 3 days. I've got two intra-clubs in 3 days over there, so it's 41 degrees. And I just want to say it's been a lot of fun. I've loved what we've done here on the show, but this is it, mate. So thanks for having me, and I hope all the units I've given you something over the years. So thanks for having me on, and good luck finding your new host.
Jeez, they've thrown you in the cauldron.
Yeah, mate, I've gone from Tassie in a week.
The players will be getting rotated every bloody 60 seconds, and you'll just be out there melting.
Yeah, tonight, two umpire system as well, so bloody cop that. All right, let's get inside the steward's room.
English literature, U.S. presidents, my wife the tramp, burning dog poo and the human response, reflections of society and literature,
Reflections of Society and Literature.
It is time for the Steward's Room, and this is fast becoming one of my favourite segments because we get to interact with the unit army and talk all things life. So this can be anything like observational in day-to-day, in your day-to-day world, whatever. It can be racing. We just accept any question into the Steward's Room, and you've come up trumps again. You can do that via our Instagram or our Twitter as well, or X as you call it now. So it's first one here, racing related, from Mitchie Delamans. What's the unit's opinion of the Imperatriz trial form?
It'd be enough to keep me out of the Lightning, first up. I listened to what Dean Watling had to say on SEN as well, and I thought he made some great points where, you know, if it's $3, then you're just forgetting the trial and you're backing her on what her race day stuff is. But, you know, to take something in the red after her trial was just okay against some horses that she's going to be racing against. You know, I'm Unstoppable Breeze Pass. He's going to be there first up. Now, is he as good a horse as her? No. Could he get to that level? Maybe, but I don't think so. Like, she's a freak at her absolute best. But, you know, you're asking to take something into the red after a flat trial first up.
So it was a flat trial. How important is the profile of the trial as well, of the profile of the horse and how they've trialed before when assessing these?
I don't think that she has trialed, you know, as unflattering as that in the past. She's trialed better than that in the past. And they spoke about her not handling heat and the day before being hot. Well, then that brings questions up about the Lightning, and you're looking at what the weather is the day before and things like that. So it just leaves you out of that price and just makes you watch the race and not bet, I reckon.
Mm. And this rolls into at GM Holes' question as well. So it's around trials with gun horses coming back, and he wants to know, does the racing media overhype a trial with these stars that are coming back to the track now?
I think it all just depends on your approach to racing. For me, I never tune into the trials when they're streamed live or anything like that. I just watch them as I need to. But some people absolutely froth it. They love tuning into the trials. So, you know, if I'm looking from my perspective, well, one, the good horses are they're coming back and trialing. So you can't expect the media just not to talk about them. So I'd say it's probably justified because people are interested in the good horses, the best horses are coming back. They're all jumping out against each other. And you know, that trial, that Imperatriz trial, has been a big talking point in racing over the last week. So I'd have to say no. A lot of people really do froth it.
I agree with that sentiment around, you know, we're coming off this summer of racing, and respectfully, it's just been benchmark Saturdays, hasn't it? Like a lot.
Yeah.
So when you start seeing these Group 1 stars hit the track, you do get a little bit of lead in your pencil, don't you, when it comes to seeing, you know, some serious operation on the turf, and whether it be at Cranbourne or Caulfield or whatever. So
the old 2B.
The old 2B.
2 inch full of blood. Hey, Mick Sharkey wants to know, who is your dentist? He's asking for a friend.
He's got a different question regarding my appearance every week on the Steward's Room. Mick Sharkey,
you got them done in Vietnam, didn't you?
Yeah, the Philippines, actually. Yeah, nice. Hey, there's one here, mate. L. O'Connor. Is Mark Zara Simon Zara's son or nephew? This is a bizarre.
L. O'Connor. L. O. Cool J. Looks like his son. They look pretty similar, don't they?
Oh, it cracked up. So during lockdown, remember I used to live in that same building as Simon?
Yeah.
And the whole Airbnb scandal was hitting the media at that point in time. So Iman had a bit of a strut on him because he was getting falsely reported that he was involved in the Airbnb scandal. And I was like, oh, aren't you flat? And he goes, no, I'm just happy to have my name, my hat in the ring.
he wishes he was there.
Yeah, he was just pumped to be involved in the headlines, I think.
And I can imagine him standing behind the curtains and
like the wedding the
curtains open and saying, this Airbnb is going off. And I'm reaping all the benefits.
He's losing his mind.
Yeah. Speaking of, Baxter15 wants to know our favourite Adam Sandler quote.
I wrote this in the run sheet and still didn't prep for it.
It's a tough one because they're left, right and centre. One that springs to mind for me is I love the whole like camera zoom in and the face that he makes when he's Billy Madison and he says, you blew it. So Ernie rings up Jet for Veronica Vaughn and tries to ask her out on behalf of the Sandman and she tells Ernie that he's more of a grown up than the Sandman and then he just goes, you blew it, and they give an absolute zoom in. I love when he yells that.
Yeah, it's so good. Mate, I've got so many, and some of the greatest Adam Sandler like movie quotes, they're not even Adam Sandler. They're just like the random characters around it, like the Price is Wrong bitch. I use that a fair bit. Bob Barker though. So I'm gonna stay out. Hey, one of our good friends of the show, Reed McHugh, he wants to know, is anyone else worried that KO is going the way of Netflix and you can't use the in-laws account? Well, look, I pay for my own KO, Reed, but thoughts and prayers with you if that's going to be cut down on. But one thing I will say, Saltz, is KO are just sneakily raising the prices year on year, and they're not improving their service. And it's very frustrating. I'm almost at the stage now where I'm thinking of getting a satellite put back on the roof and bargaining with Foxtel and just getting the old...
Isn't there 100 different ways you can get KO cheaper though?
Yeah, there probably is. I'm just not a real scam artist like that. I just pay.
Yeah, people always send me it. I'm like, oh, I can't bother.
Yeah, okay, no, it's too much effort. I'll just pay that.
I'd rather pay $200 more and just not have to look into it.
Oh, I think it works out that it's... I saw Darcy Cosgrove from .com. He actually tweeted the other day that it's now $80 more per season, I think, for KO for the AFL season. So they're sneaky raising the prices.
They haven't been sneaky. Yeah. Bloody Murdoch bootlickers.
When they're galloping to the gates, there's only one place to bet. Top Sport, the home of horse racing. Whether you're a sprinter or a stayer or just a fashion-conscious player, go the distance with bigger bet limits and top odds on every race, every time. Download the app for a faster, easier betting experience. Top Sport. Feel the excitement.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Salts, Specs, time, and we are back at Caulfield this week. Group 1 racing, and she's the undercard to the Group 1 event in the CF4 Stakes is also... very, very nice to look at, Sultan. What can we expect there in terms of track conditions, which has been, let's just say, at the forefront of a lot of our minds over the last few weeks?
Yeah, it's a nice program. And in regard to the track, it's clearly going to be playing fairer than last week, given the rail moves back to the true. We've got some light southerlies. That means I'm not really negative on anything that's drawn wide in the chute with the rail true, that wind at their back. It's not strong enough that it's going to have a major impact, but it's still not going to be that big a negative to draw out and cover some ground from that sort of 1,000 to 1,200 metre chute start there. Let's face it, they got the track wrong last week. It was already a good 3 before race 1 and it only got firmer. So, hopefully there's a bit more juice in it to start off this weekend. But rail true, I'm setting up for horse to get their chance and tempo to be the number one thing.
Can I just say as well, and I'll drop back a couple of segments here because I was meant to put them in the supper, but I loved Tim Bailey, Liam O'Keefe in the RSN studio this week talking about track conditions and owning it, explaining why it's been playing like this, how they got it wrong. It was actually really refreshing
here.
And the intricacies and things that you have to expect in terms of your irrigation versus natural versus the wind in terms of how it all plays out. I thought it was really interesting for someone that's not overly strong when it comes to weather salts, as you remind me constantly. So let's head to race one anyway. Benchmark 100, 2,000 metres, and you're pretty keen on one to get us off the mark.
I might be flashing on air if this gets up in the first flash feeling, the nine. I'll tell you what, he looks nicely placed. He was dynamic, fresh. It was no good second up. He was well beaten by Bermudez at Geelong, but he bounced back at the Valley last start. Independent Road led them up at a slow tempo and got it to suit, but he was eating into the margin late flash feeling. He now meets Independent Road 3 kilos better off. He's proven at 2,000 metres, whereas Bermudez is on trial at 2,000 metres. There's a 6 kilo weight difference between those two. And Craig Williams in the saddle, he'll again just get that nice stalk in behind the tempo. And I reckon it'd be hard to beat in the first, the nine, flash feeling.
Yep, flash feeling there at $3.20. Just want to touch on Independent Road for just a sec. One, four back at Ballarat. I was on the second horse, Tycoon Beck. Then sided with Independent Road against Dunkell at the Valley.
Yep.
Ran second. Then butted up in that Geelong Coast meeting, ran fourth to Holy Man's, then jumped off last start, ran first. So Independent Road and I are having just a fucking real go at it at the moment. So
you mind putting something on in this week?
Oh, nah, I'm just staying out forever now. Any race is in, I'm just not betting it. That's how I'm going. Race five, it's the Group 3 Carline Cup. Set weights and penalties, Foot Sultan head-to-head.
Yeah, well, I tell you who's the Loft is 107 rated, but he's first up off a long spell. So
German,
in terms of being informed, the best weighted horse in the race is Young Werther by a mile. He's very well placed, he's 106 rated. It's set weights and penalties. Like, two back his margin unfair, running third in a Group 1 McKinnon at Flemington on a feature day at weight for age. His form last preparation was good. One of his fresh runs in Queensland last winter, he's the best closer. Straight to 1,800 metres behind without a fight. He went a long time without winning, but he's got some good form now. I'll tell you, I loved his 1,200 metre trial at Geelong. They just rode him quietly. Then they asked him to extend late. He ran right through the line. Look, I think he should be favourite, and we're going head-to-head here. You like the one that is favourite.
Yeah, well, it wasn't favourite when I did the form yesterday. So Yonte opened up 360, Young Werther opened up 270. They've since switched in the market. So the market's gravitated towards the mare that I like. And yeah, she's lightly raced. I've been waiting to pull the trigger on her. She's third up now. She gets to 1,600 metres. Look, that last start in the Barton Stakes, which was won by Ayrton, just got off them, taking ground off them late, up on the fence. I think she's ready to run somewhere back near her best. Her peak figure was at 1,600 metres. So she's at 310 now. I'm not surprised, but you know, I took the 360, but I'm still happy to play at 310 for our listeners out there with Yonsei. I think she's the one on the up. Are you concerned distance-wise, Young Werther? That was the knock for me. Like, the trial, very good. Unplaced at the mile, gets obviously better as he gets out over.
I'm not concerned, to be honest. Like, I mentioned that run at 1,800 metres first up, where he's the best closer behind without a fight. And given his trial was sharp and there's a lack of speed in the race, he'll be up on speed, and I'm expecting to be closing strongly.
Mm. I'm excited to see how Loft comes back to in that race. They've taken their time with the German Jet, the Hayes boys. So one-time Melbourne Cup favourite resuming in the Carline Cup. Really interesting to see. Race number six. This is going to be the first of the Blue Diamond Preludes here. This one's for the Colts and Geldings. And interesting race here, Saltz. And you're siding with the Philip Stokes runner.
Yeah, and there's an asterisk here because I don't know if it's just mind games to try and get the track to start with a lot more juice in it than last week from the Stokes camp, but they're saying that if it gets upgraded to a good three, then they're most likely going to scratch. Well, this is at 3:05. They likely irrigate in the morning. It's going to be warm. So be touch and go, probably get to a good three by race six. But if he's here and he is running, there's no penalty for him winning because the Blue Diamond's at set weight. So he'll be here to win. And from a map perspective, he's the one I want to be with. High octane, good horse, good win, fresh. I think widest of all winners on the day, but he did get some good galloping room as he has in his trial. So Barry won a little bit tricky for him and Blake Shin, but Stay Focused just maps again for that lovely stalk on the speed, just like we saw him get in the Geelong Diamond on debut, where they ran. He actually ran faster time that day than Ray Magnerio when he won the Benchmark 84. So good time, similar time to Carbonados, who failed since but got the tongue over the bit and lame. And, you know, that's a good three-year-old. So he's a good horse, and his jump out down the back at Pakenham between runs was a corker. If we're going on times and ratings and stuff, I thought he should be favourite. Stay Focused.
Okay. I'm staying out of this race. I like your points. You made a point at the start where there's no penalty, just given like throwing in at set weights for the Blue Diamond. But how much of a penalty is it in terms of missing a run as well? So I'll be interested to see if Philip Stokes is just going some smoking mirrors there, Saltz.
Yeah, there could be some screen doors. Hopefully he might have Travis Cloak out there with a bloody garden hose just watering the corporate track the night before.
He's going to wear four grippy gloves. I'm intrigued to see. I almost want it to be a good three now, just to see if he's a man of his word. Quickly, just want to touch on race seven as well. It'd be rude if we didn't. It's the Blue Diamond Prelude for the fillies. Bold Bastille returns Saltzy, who's your two-year-old to watch as a few weeks ago, prior to Storm Boy winning the Magic Millions, was your
prior to a worst setback as well.
Yeah, true. And well, you spoke about she had that run in the was it the Inglis
something, yeah,
something on Cox Plate Day was the highest rating run of any 2-year-old. So how much can something? It's not a huge setback.
She had a virus.
Yeah, something that went through the stable. So you know, how much is this a setback in terms of missing a run? So you miss the previews, you go straight to the preludes, you come up $2.30. Tough to get involved, isn't it?
Yeah, well, she's being priced almost on not having that setback. So that's where you look at her just being too tight, and the word from the stable in the media is that she's going to be taking improvement from it. Mark Zara is a little bit trepidatious. She had two trials leading into her debut in. She's only had one trial this time in, which was equally as soft as her first two trials. But they're all little things that say, well, leave me out of $2.30. I'm still yet to completely dissect the race in full. But at this stage, I know that I liked Flattered on debut when she was running some of the second fastest last 600 metres of the day in the Merson Cooper behind Anisa, who I thought was terrific last week with the pattern against. So that's good form. I think Flattered can run well. She had a nice trial at the Heath. I think In Her Eyes, she was held up at Moonee Valley, 1,200 metres debut. I liked her trial at the Heath between runs at a big price. To be or not to be. Let up on debut last start and was strong through the line behind Hayasugi. So I'm going to be looking around Bold Bastille, whether or not I bet. Remains to be seen, but they're the sort of three for me that I'll be likely diving into a bit closer to just try and get that favourite beaten at that price.
Yep. The two I'm looking into, Salts, just while we'll dissect the race. Yep. Hayasugi, so loved the win last start. She just does everything right. Yep. So she's the one that's doing everything professionally at the moment. You get, and then I guess on the flip side of that, Kuro Yanagi, the South Australian filly that comes over. So she was $1.35 on debut at Gawler.
Jeez, her price is short.
Yeah. So she's $7 here, but she's kind of hard to really line up with anything. Like even looking through the punting form stuff at Gawler, like I don't get much confidence out of comparing some of those Gawler.
Terribly slow.
Yeah, and it was a slowly run race. So like I'm just... Yeah, she's the fly in the ointment in this race. Like she might just be really, really good. But she's also in for Morfettville Race 1 where she goes around there at $1.40. So do you really want to be coming to a Blue Diamond off two cheap kills?
I think you want to have seen Caulfield.
You need to see Caulfield and you need to go up against some of these better oppositions. So I'm surprised she was even dual nommed. But it's a good race. I'm not going to bet. I just think we're going to learn a lot. I still think the Colts are better. So that's where I'm sitting with that.
No, agreed.
Race number 8 Saltsy is the Group 2 Rubiton Stakes set weights and penalties 1100 metres. A couple of my old favourites here that you're getting involved in.
Yeah, the one for me that's the wrong price is the 2, Kalos. Now, he won his first 3 as a gelding. He only had one run last spring. It was in the Heath. You have a look at that replay. He was jogging in behind them. He ran the second fast last 200 metres of the race, and he never, ever got a crack at them. For not having a crack at them, he was only beaten 2.8 by Asfura, who had a beautiful run and got mobile early coming into home. And on that day, she was $2.50. He was $8. Now she's, you know, almost even money, and he's $20. I think he's the wrong price, and he ran right through the line in a Hawkesbury trial. No issue, wide draw, shoot start with good speed in the race. I'm going to back him, but for me, it's quite a simple back and save because she's the best horse in the race, as for her. She's only beaten last preparation by Imperatriz. She had Uncommon James sit outside her at Caulfield last preparation, and he dropped her like a sack of potatoes. He's a Group 1 winner. She's had one jump out, which was in very slow time at Great Western, but she was just jogging around. And Henry Dwyer saying, well, she's going to need to be taking care of these if she's going on to an Oakley Plate. And she's got a lovely map to just stalk the speed for Mitch Aiken. And if she wins, I don't want to lose because she's the best horse. But at the prices, I can save on her or have a small result out of her and have my best result out of Kalos.
Yeah, he calls a spade a spade, H. Dwyer. There's zero doubt about that. So Kalos, $16. Asfura, $2.25 at the moment. So good prices there for the Godolphin runner in particular, and then the save job on Asfura for Henry Dwyer. Hey, let's talk about race number 9. Now, the feature of the day, the Group 1 CFO Stakes, run under weight for age conditions, 1,400 metres. Jack and O won last year on protest over Gentleman Roy. 2022, it was Tefane. And in 2021, Zach Spain got his first Group 1 aboard Streets of Avalon for Shane Nichols. This year's edition, 9 acceptors. Speed looks good. They're all drawn low as well. Buffalo River in 1, Pride of Jenny in 3, Pericles 5, V8 2 to probably sit in behind that. Mr. Brightside's likely going to lob in a beautiful position midfield with cover. That's unlike Mr. Brightside. I'm intrigued to see how you've had a look at it. How's the Mr. Brightside trial form looked heading into the assaults? Is it just a simple case of he's just too good for him, or is he vulnerable first up?
Well, he's clearly the best horse in the race. And, you know, he won the PB Lawrence Fresh last preparation in fast time, and he's had a couple of Flemington jump outs leading into this off 13 weeks, so he'd have some residuals. He had a long prep last prep. He's got that lovely versatility where he can win on fast or slow tempos. The way I've assessed the race is he's bang on, he's my rated price, and there's no real edge in the price. I'm just not comfortable taking it. And I think sometimes you just got to follow your gut. And if you're not comfortable having a bet, you don't have to bet. I'm happy to just watch them go around. You know, we got $2. I thought $2.40 when he won the PB Lawrence late was an absolute gift. This is a better race than the PB Lawrence. You know, it's Group 1 horses. A tissue towards the end of last preparation. You know, she won the McKinnon by near on 2 lengths. Her trials have been very good, her recent 1,000-metre trials. She's jogging in behind them. Look, V8 needs to go to a new level, but he can. I think 1,400 metres is his best trip. Pericles was lucky to win the tramway first up last prep, run to suit second up 1,400 metres. Liked his trial, Warwick Farm. Look, Ayrton, I don't think this is his race at weight for age, but he's a Caulfield 1,400-metre specialist. Pride of Jenny, not going to bust them up going forward, but has jumped out well. I'll be having him on top, Mr. Brightside, because you just default to the best horse in the race and nothing looks to have gone wrong with him in the lead up to this, but I'm just not comfortable taking that price.
This leads us in to a pretty big restructure of the Group 1 Pissing Contest, Salts. So, Beery, yourself and I, you won the last year's edition, okay? You cleaned us up, you dethroned Beery. And I won the one before that. So we've all got one to our name at the moment, but we're going a completely different path in season 7 of the show. And it's going to be units versus beer. So the way Salts it's going to work is you and I will get $100 as a team and Beery will get $100. But sick of going through these seasons with nothing at stake. So we're going to add something at stake here. And the loser at the end of the season, so the last group one we'll play into, will be the Tats Tiara on June 29 after the Queensland Carnival. We're going to have to work for the other. So a day in their life. So if by a miracle Mitch Beer wins this competition, you and I are going to have to either trudge up to Kembla or Albury and be part of the Mitch Beer racing team for a day. Now, when Beery loses, he's going to have to come to town and be part of the two units team for a day. And what we do during the day is what we choose to do, Salts, isn't it? Because that's how we operate. So, you know, Beery might come for a run with me in the morning. He might have to head out to Sandown with you on a Wednesday as a personal assistant and carry your bags around.
I'll get him to Fitzroy Pools and swim some laps.
I might make him eat breakfast at a local cafe in an AFL umpiring uniform. Who knows?
Make him have some salad.
I reckon he'll tap out there. That'd be that might be the final straw. So there's going to be a little bit at stake. There'll be some good content at the end to come out of it. But the Group 1 pissing contest is units versus beer, which means each Group 1, you and I, are going to have to operate as a team and discuss how we're going to play. I've got a bet in this race, Salts. So you got to let me in, coach. So my bet in this race, it's not a place bet because I refuse to have a sole place bet. But Ayrton, $21, $3.80. Oh, I feel $3.80. He's going to grab one of those two places because he finds another gear, this track, this trip, this jockey combination. This is unseen areas, Sultan. And
he's been well placed.
You know, I like a 1x3 play, but I'm calling it a 1x9, Salts. 1x9. So how
1x9er.
The whole 1x9. So how you break up a 1x9? You can have $5 the win, $45 the place. You could have $10 the win, $90 the place, for example. You could have $2.50 the win and whatever the rest is the place. I'm not doing quick maths at the moment.
Are you taking a whole 100?
No.
Okay.
I'm taking a $5 win, $45 place Ayrton for the units this week. We're laying $50 out in week one.
All right.
Are you happy with that?
Yeah. I'm going to have to learn how to ride a horse.
I'm
going to be doing track work.
That's that Simpsons meme with the gun to the back with you out the front waving. So our play is $5 the win, $45 the place.
It's
a 1x9 special.
It's aggressive.
It's aggressive straight up.
I like it.
So ball's in your court, Beery. Let's move on. Race number 10. It is the Peter Legrand Stakes, three-year-old fillies, set weights, penalties, 1,100 metres. And a little two-bet play for you once more, mate.
Yeah, I just thought Blanc de Blanc was short enough, given she's first up of 47 weeks. Two trials in Sydney have been good. That's a long time to have off the scene. One that's only had 21 weeks off the scene is Estriella. Her two Cranbourne jump outs have been very stylish. Again, couldn't care less, drawn out wide from the shoot. Now, start two, she's beaten by Cabalas. We saw him win very impressively first up with a stable switch. Then she's second in a Silver Shadow. She beat home Camochi. We saw her come down and run very well in feature races for the fillies in Victoria in the spring. She beat home Mumbai Muse, ditto for her, and then she went back up to Sydney and won a race as well. She's a good horse. As I said, jump out's good and happy to have something on her. And I'll have a little something on the 10, So Glamorous. She'll get better over further. She'll need some luck from the inside draw, but her recent Cranbourne jump out was faster than the morning. She did first gear, was impressive. I think she can run a race fresh, So Glamorous. She's very lightly raced and untapped.
Estriella, $4.40. So glamorous, $10. Let's head across to Morpheville. Got a couple of quick smash and grabs. In fact, I don't now. I was going to play Galileus in race two, but the kind people at Roll the Dice Racing have replied to my tweet saying that Galileus is now heading to Caulfield, so I won't be playing Galileus at Morpheville. Good.
Well,
to
the
know.
Other one, you got another one there though. That's a big old price in the six.
I've gone full Oakbank Trials foot here because race six, benchmark 64, 1100 meters. There's a runner here, Texan Windstorm, $51, $10, having an each way bet. He's double the price for what he should be in this. Certainly gets better as he gets into his preparation. But the trial at Oakbank finished in behind a horse called Outsider, who is an ex-Waller runner, brings solid enough Sydney form. It was easily the fastest heat of the morning from the nine 1,000-meter heats there. And I think can run a cheeky race being up on speed with the three-kilo claim. So $51, $10. I'll have an each-way bet on Texan Windstorm. That would be, I reckon, the definition of a smash and grab at Morphettville.
What are you going to do there? A point two by 10?
Yeah. Just six by 12, I reckon. Yeah,
two by 10. Bloody 6 by 12.
Probably have another 1 by 9, mate. They seem to be the seem to be in at the moment. I wish that I could make her
see. She's just a unit.
Lukey McGarry is in as our unit of the week this week. Reached out to us. Thank you for those units out there in the army that have reached out to us. So I've probably left a few of you on red, but you're certainly in the queue to be the unit of the week. They haven't gone unsighted. $200 bonus bet, courtesy of Top Sport. Half go to you, half go to Racing Hearts. This is what Lukey McGarry likes this week.
G'day, punters. Thanks, Footski and Salts for having me on this week. For the unit of the week, we're going to head to Caulfield on Saturday. Should be a good day's of racing. Race 3 is a benchmark 70. Probably, let's be honest, the most mediocre race on the card. But I'm pretty certain on the 9 here for Kieran Maher, another will. Currently at $2, so it is very short. Hasn't done really anything wrong in its career. Broke its maiden at Mowi by 5 lengths on a heavy track. Doesn't really look like it's a suited heavy tracker as well. So got soft ground at Moonee Valley. Ran a pretty hot contested race there halfway through last year. And was beaten pretty easy, but then went out for a spell and then returned to the races at Sandown last month and absolutely blitzed.
We've cut him. It's too long.
Didn't need his life story.
It's too long, Lukey. You're on.
Tell me where he was foaled.
How were the wind chimes, too? I thought we were in a dream. We're in Luke's dream.
I thought I was on bloody acid.
Anyway, he's on another wheel, race 3, Caulfield. Good on you, Luke. Thanks for coming on. That's the sort of treatment you get here. Salt's brought out the old, you know, the walking stick with the looped sort of the coat hanger. You coat hanged him off stage. Your Red Simons gonged him. That's what you did.
We need to get a gong for unit of the week. Oh, we love you, mate. We love your support.
Thanks, Luke.
It's a bit more succinct if you go back to back.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, best bets from around Australia. I'm kicking it off as I always do. Back at the Heath, race for the Group 2 Autumn Stakes for the 3-year-olds. And look, come up at some $1.90, but Southport Tycoon looks a very, very, very good bet on Saturday. Slowly away first up. That was in the Australia Stakes at the Valley over 1200. Savage the line behind V8, who's third line of betting, Group 1 weight for age later in the card. Damien Lane goes on as well, best in the business. Steps out and trips to 1,400 metres. That's the biggest form factor tick for me there. Has had that tendency to step slow. She's, I think Damien Lane can just ride anything and so be it from 5. He won't find too much trouble. So Southport Tycoon, best bet for me.
Yeah, I'm calling this horse Saltsport Tycoon. I do think he's well placed. I agree with you. I haven't enough time to commit to a best bet. So I'm going to put one forward. You got enough? You got some? Could be Southport Tycoon. Got to do that race a little bit closer. Good horse. Good first up. But just follow the other bets. See how you go.
How have you not had a bet in this race and still managed to call the horse Saltsport Tycoon?
I've never backed it in my life either.
This is some of the greatest, some of the highest order narcissism I've ever seen.
Never had a bet on it.
Yeah, extraordinary shit. Go and get stuffed.
Salt's been at racing.
You're a moron. Ah, very good. That brings us to the end of our show anyway. I've got nothing else to add. So, hey, Group 1 Racing back. Bloody enjoy it. We'll be back next week. So
was that an extra long? Has that gone for 2 hours after Unit of the Week? How long is that? 45 minutes. Not bad. Yeah, not
if
bad.
If I trot back Unit of the Week, that's a 27-minute show, I reckon. So that'd be pretty solid.
What are you doing this weekend? What are you doing Saturday?
Perth.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I finally got a Sunday off. I didn't realize how much I wanted a Sunday off until I got one. Now I'm going to the pub with the boys.
I'm excited for that. I'll see you there. Bring the heaps normal XPAs, mate. I'll catch you there.
It's going to be 30 degrees.
Whoa, beautiful.
Got a new shirt, this little sort of quarter polo. Yeah.
I might not wear one. I'm feeling treaded at the moment.
Okay. Saw you at the pool the other day.
Few questions. All right, get stuffed. I'll see you Sunday.
See you, mate.
Enjoy the weekend, everyone. Unit Army, you thought I was gone, but I am back. If you loved today's episode or any other episode for that matter, please head over to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. And if you're feeling extra friendly, could even do both. If you do like what the Sultan's throwing down as well and you want to get a few more tips from Sunday through to Friday, then head over to 2units.com.au. We've got plenty of packages there to suit everyone. You'll get the Sultan's full staking plan as well. If that's not for you though, tune in next week right here on the 2 Units Podcast.